Good morning, my friends. This is missionary James Robinette. I'm a missionary with Mission East Africa, Uganda. And by the gracious will of our great God and Savior, it is my real joy to look to the scripture with you once again this Lord's Day morning. My friends, today, by the Lord's grace, we are continuing in a sermon series about God's dealings with the nations, and we'll continue today to look at the book of Revelation. My purpose is to share an overview with you, that is kind of a big picture of the book of Revelation, and to make comment upon the aspect of God's judging people and judging the nations through this book. And so we'll have a thumbnail sketch, an overview, a bit of a survey of the book of Revelation today, and I hope this will be helpful. I trust that it will be. May the Lord bless you today in His marvelous grace. May He bless His words to your very hearts and souls. And so, my friends, hear now the word of the Lord, beginning in Revelation chapter 2 in verse 24. Now I say to you, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden, but hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels. I also have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Praise God. Dear friends, let us pray. Father in heaven, great and gracious God, we thank you for this oracle, this prophecy, the very sayings, the words of God, your breath to us as we find it in the book of Revelation. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless this time of teaching and preaching of the word to our hearts once again this Lord's Day morning. We rejoice that there is a special blessing for him who reads the oracle, who hears the words of this prophecy. And so we ask for that special blessing for your true people today, the blessing that comes to the faithful, to those who believe and, because of their living faith, serve you in good works. Thank you for your mercy, Lord. Thank you for grace. Thank you for precious knowledge. And so we commit this time to you, and we ask for your gracious blessing and powerful truth to reach our very hearts. And we pray that you would be glorified in this and that we would be helped in this. In the name of Jesus, the Lord, amen and amen. Praise God. And so, my friends, last Lord's Day, we looked at the final judgment, that is God's last dealings with the nations, in a sense, when all peoples, all individuals, all nations are gathered before him, and the great judgment, their destiny is fully revealed, and God separates the wheat from the chaff, if you will, to use the words of the Lord Jesus. The righteous are gathered to God in unspeakably great, glorious grace and love into the merciful kingdom of the Son of God's love. And then, in God's righteousness, the wicked are cast into everlasting burnings, the lake of fire, a fire that will never be put out, where they will live for eternity in utter torment, having never made peace with God through the precious blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we said that we find in this book of Revelation, this great apocalyptic book, this great book that reveals, the name means the revealing, the apocalypse, or the appearing of the Lord, the glorious truth that Christ Jesus is coming again in glory, and he is coming to judge. The scripture says he came to save, and yet he comes now in this second coming to judge. And so in our survey, we'll be looking at some of the judgments of God and making comment upon these actions in the book of Revelation. We see in these verses in Revelation chapter 2 about the church of Thyatira that the Lord commends the church for her love, her service, her faith, and her patience, which he says is greater than it was at the first. And yet he criticizes, of course, justly, praise God, righteously, this church, because they tolerated a cult of idolatry and immorality. He teaches them that judgment is coming, and he cautions, he admonishes them to keep the faith, to continue to believe in him, with a promise that those who overcome would rule the nations and receive the morning star. Praise the Lord. Now, we find in these verses the glorious truth that Christ Jesus, the great King, rules the peoples. He rules the nations with a rod of iron, and that the unjust nations are dashed to pieces like a potter's vessel. Again, we see the glorious truth as we have been sharing it, that this great and glorious God is glorified to show mercy to the nations and also to judge the sins of the nations. And so Christ sets before the church of Thyatira the necessity of pure doctrine, which would lead to pure practice, and he encourages them to overcome the evil one, overcome the world by faith in him, and serve him faithfully from a heart purified by true saving faith, knowing that Christ Jesus is the God who rewards righteousness, but who always judges sin, and that corruption cannot continue in his presence. Praise God. They must turn from their corruptions, from their sinfulness, from their failing God, from their weaknesses, from their transgressions, the evil that he hates. And so Christ lovingly calls them with a promise of great reward that they would receive the light of God. We see here that he will give them the morning star. Again, I believe this is a figurative expression, simply reflecting the great blessing that Christ is able to give and will give to his people who overcome, the very morning star or the light, the day of the dawn, that he will give to them. And so his last word to the church of Thyatira is that they must listen to him. If they have ears to hear, then they must hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Praise God. Now, Christ's admonitions come to the churches of Asia Minor in chapter 3. And then chapter 4 brings us into the scene of the throne room of heaven. And we find here that God himself is presented, the great King sitting upon the throne, the ruler of his creation, and he is absolutely glorious in his appearance. He sits upon the throne. The Spirit of God is present before him. He is seen in these fires, seven lamps of fire, which are the seven spirits of God, or again, a reference to the person of the Holy Spirit. And before God, the judge, is a sea of crystal, and also the angelic creatures, the seraphim, the cherubim, are before God. Praise the Lord. And so God is praised by the creatures of heaven, by the angelic host, and by the four living creatures, and they constantly declare to the judge of all creation that he is holy, 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 thrice holy. He is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Praise God. And we see that also present are 24 elders. Now, again, some of some of these descriptions are given in the form of symbols, and these symbols communicate precious truth. There are several different interpretations, and for our purposes today, we won't be able to talk about these various interpretations, but let me just make a brief comment and share my understanding. I would encourage you to further study. Perhaps you might not see my interpretation. It may not be your understanding, but let me share with you that I believe the 24 elders represent the church, and specifically the leaders, the elders of the church. They are present before God, and they thank God. They give him praise constantly. And the word says that this great judge is worshipped, and that these elders throw their crowns before the throne. They cast their crowns before the throne in praise and worship and in thanksgiving to the great living God. They continually do this. Praise the Lord. Now again, just imagine for a moment the scene there and the glory that is given to the judge of all creation. Praise God by the angels and also by the elders of the church, 24 elders. And so we find in chapter 5 now the scene that the throne room in heaven is captured in a moment as a scroll appears in the right hand of God upon the throne. And there is a call for someone to open the scroll. And we see that there is found no one worthy to open the scroll. And yet there is this call to open the scroll. And we find in verse 8 that the Lamb is found worthy to open the scroll. And he comes and he takes the scroll out of the hand of God. And as he does so, we find that the four living creatures and the 24 elders fall down and worship, and they cry out to God and declare the worth of the Lamb who is able to open these seven seals to open the scroll, because, praise God, the saints of God are redeemed by the blood of God, the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that he has saved people out of the great judgments of God, out of every tribe, tongue, nation, and people, and has made them kings and priests. They reign, they rule, they lead on the earth, it says there in verse 10. Praise God. And so the worthy Lamb is also praised. He is powerful. He is wise. All strength, honor, glory, and blessing are his. And we see that he is blessed with honor and glory and power. And so his praise is also directed to God. God upon the throne and God the Lamb are praised forever and ever there in verse 13. Praise God. He is worshipped, God the Father and God the Son. Praise the Lord. And so the Lamb takes the scroll. And let me just mention that I believe the scroll represents the decree of God, the plan of God for his creation in absolute and perfect detail, utmost detail, from the beginning of the creation and for forever. It also includes the destinies of all people that God has created. And so, again, the Lamb is worthy. He has wisdom, and his wisdom to understand and reveal the counsel, the decree of God, to open the scroll, to understand it and to communicate it, is seen in a series of judgments in which, and we call these the seal judgments, in a series of judgments in which seal by seal is opened. There are seven seals, and each one is opened. In this, we see that the decree of God, the plan of God for his creation is revealed, and each opening of a seal speaks of a judgment that comes upon the creation upon the earth. And so the worthy Lamb takes the scroll, and so these judgments issue forth as he opens each seal. And we find, for instance, that one who has a bow and a crown given to him is sent out conquering and to conquer when the first seal is opened. We would think that this is an angelic being who is powerfully sent by God to conquer evil and to judge evil. The second seal is opened, and in this we see another great judgment that comes upon the earth. There is a distress of the people that comes, and it is given to this angelic messenger to take peace from the earth, which results in the people of the earth killing one another. And this angel is given a great sword. And so again, there is war on earth because peace is removed in the judgment of the Lamb. Now, again, notice in the seal judgments, this beginning series of judgments in the book of Revelation, that it is the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, who is indeed bringing judgment, revealing the judgment, bringing it to pass as he opens each seal in his glorious power and ability. These judgments issue forth. Praise God. Another judgment, the third seal, scarcity on the earth. There is a lack of food and the necessities of life. The fourth seal, there is widespread death on the earth. And in fact, we see that there is power given to this living creature to bring death to a fourth of the earth. They are killed with the sword, hunger, and death, and by the beasts of the earth. Fifthly, a seal is opened, and we find in this that the martyrs killed for the namesake of the Lord, the Lamb of God, cry out for God's vengeance, God's just treatment and dealings with those people, the nations that have killed them. A sixth seal. There is a great earthquake. The sun becomes black as sackcloth of hair. The moon becomes like blood. I believe this is figurative language. And then we see that the stars of heaven fall to the earth. I believe this is figurative language, which really communicates this awesome kind of consuming judgment now that comes not just upon the earth, but upon the very cosmos. That is, upon the creation. And so men are judged, the earth is judged, and the creation now comes in this great powerful way affecting the very universe. Now, we see in chapter 7 that there are 144,000 of Israel who are sealed. The 12 tribes are mentioned, and there are 12,000 people sealed, 12,000 men sealed of these tribes. I believe that this is a figurative expression of the fact that those who believe in God, the culmination, the total church, if you will, those saved by the Lamb's grace are sealed. We remember that the Bible says that the elect of God are sealed by the Holy Spirit. And so in this sealing work of God, they are protected from the great judgments of God that brings utter destruction and then damnation upon the wicked who die in their sins. We see that there is a great multitude saved out of the great tribulation, out of this great trouble that has come upon the earth in the judgments, the seal judgments. And God is worshipped and glorified by those who are saved. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Praise the Lord. So those who are sealed are arrayed in white robes. Praise God. Now we have a second series of judgments, and we call these the trumpet judgments. The seventh seal is finally opened. The seventh seal, the sealed of Israel are spoken of there after the sixth seal judgment. And so in the seventh seal, we see that the Bible tells us here that there's a silence in heaven for about a half an hour. And then there is a great judgment that is given. And so it is that there are thunderings, there's noises, lightnings, and an earthquake. And the prayers of the saints are answered, perhaps the cries of the saints for God's judgment and vengeance. And so it is that the angels of God before God now prepare to bring the trumpet judgments to pass, to sound. Praise God. Now in the trumpet judgments, and again there's seven of these judgments, we see that there is an increasing severity. These are even greater judgments. The seal judgments are severe judgments, but of lesser severity than these judgments. And so in the trumpet judgments, we see, for instance, in the first trumpet judgment that the vegetation of the earth is burned up, the trees, the green grass. And so there is hail and fire followed, mingled with blood. Now, some of these images, and again, I believe that because this is an apocalyptic book, a book of prophecy, that truth is presented in a great measure in this book in terms of symbols and imagery. In this imagery, we see that vegetation is struck, the second judgment. The very seas are struck. The sea becomes, a third of the sea becomes blood. This reminds us of judgments in the Old Testament, particularly in God's dealings with Israel as Moses and the people there then stood for God, and God judged Pharaoh and God judged the Egyptians and brought the terrible curses and judgments, the miraculous judgments upon them. We find in the third trumpet judgment that the waters are made bad. The waters are made bitter so that those who are alive cannot drink water. The water is bitter. In the fourth trumpet judgment, the very heavens are struck. A third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that they are darkened. And a third of the day did not shine. And so again, the very sun, the moon, the stars are impacted, and the judgment comes that light is withheld from God, from the heavenly bodies. We find there in verse 13 of chapter 8, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound. And so this is an obvious declaration of judgment upon the earth, upon the inhabitants of the earth. The fifth trumpet judgment. Again, a severe judgment that locusts are released from the bottomless pit. And these locusts, probably demons who are allowed to torment men, come upon the wicked. And it says there that men seek to die, but they will not die. And they will be in this torment. The sixth judgment. Angels from the Euphrates. And here again we find that in this great judgment, a third of mankind is killed by the fire and smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. And so in these great and severe judgments, notice verse 21, they did not repent of their murders, their sorceries, or their sexual immorality, or their thefts. Notice that the Lamb is bringing the recompense upon the peoples. He is bringing to them their just due. Praise God. Now, we continue in the book of Revelation, and we see that in chapter 11, that two witnesses rise up, that these two witnesses are killed, and yet they are resurrected. Then we find the seventh trumpet judgment. Again, our focus is upon these judgments of God. And so this is a great and severe judgment. And we see here that just as we saw in the seal judgment, that the judgment severity increases from the first to the last judgment. And so here we find that the seventh angel sounds. There are loud voices in heaven, and there's this call, this great cry from heaven. The kingdoms of the world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. And God is worshipped by the elders there. They fall again before Him in absolute submission. The redeemed elder before the Lamb of God, humbled, glad to give God glory, thanking God for His great judgment, because in the judgment, the Lamb of God, the great and merciful, righteous Lamb, is saving His people and returning to evil its just due. And so, praise God, the temple in heaven is opened and God's covenant is seen. In the seventh trumpet, the kingdom is proclaimed. And when the gospel of light comes, there is inevitably a sense, an aspect of judgment. God reveals the light of the gospel, the kingdom of God. And those who comply, those who believe and bend the knee and worship Him are saved in the light. But those who refuse to do so in their hardness of heart and wickedness are condemned to the uttermost. In Revelation chapter 12, another aspect of the judgments that we find in this book, and that is that there is found a war in heaven, and the dragon, identified as Satan, is cast out of heaven. The devil wars and seeks to devour a child. This represents the Lord Jesus Christ, we believe, who is born of a woman, probably representing the church. In the fullness of time, He came forth from believers. And so Satan seeks to kill the Lamb, but the Lamb is protected. And the Lamb grows up. The child is safe in the protection of God, though the devil has great wrath. And so then the devil turns against the church and persecutes the woman. Once again, in God's decree, the church is protected from the wrath of the dragon or from the wrath of the demon. The church, those who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, in Revelation 13, we see two figures arise, the beast from the sea and the beast from the earth. And these wicked beings are ultimately judged severely by God, and they too are cast into the lake of fire, though they are allowed to persecute and harm the church. They are allowed to kill believers, but ultimately they receive the great judgment of God that comes upon them for their evil. And so we see, praise God, in Revelation chapter 14, another aspect of judgment in which we see the earth's being like a harvest which is reaped. There is this reaping of the earth, we find in verse 16. So he who sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. In other words, it is time, it says there, for the Lamb to judge. And we see a graphic picture of that judgment here, in that there are grapes of wrath, which are another picture of judgment. And here we see that the Lamb gathers in his sharp sickle, and he's working through an angel here, and there is this filling up of a wine press, and it is filled up with the wrath of the fullness of God's judgment, so that blood comes out of the wine press up to the horses' bridles for 1,600 furlongs to a great distance. The grapes of wrath. Reaping the grapes of wrath. And the picture there is that men are slain, and there's this filling up of a wine press of their blood. Now we have another series of judgments, even more severe, which come about before the final judgment that we saw there at the end of Revelation. And these are called the bowl judgments. Praise God. We find that in chapter 15 and 16. And so Revelation presents this series of judgments, seals, trumpets, and now bowls, which are likened to bowls filled up with the wrath of God. And so these great and severe judgments come in increasing severity. Men receive sores. The sea is turned to blood. All waters are turned to blood. Men are scorched by a great fire. There is darkness and pain. The very river Euphrates is dried up. A call comes out that in this drying up of the river Euphrates, that this great final battle of Armageddon, in which God will war with evil and overcome it, takes place. The seventh bowl, a final severe judgment, the earth is utterly shaken. Praise God. Then appears Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, in chapter 17. And we see in this a personification of the mystery of evil, or that is, if you will, evil that God hates and judges and slays is personified as a woman harlot called Babylon, who seduces the nations to sin, and she is dealt with by God, and she falls in a great judgment in chapter 18. Babylon, if you will, the evil world system, the kingdom of evil in the world, is finally overcome, and in chapter 19, heaven rejoices and gives glory to God, to the Father, and to the Lamb. Christ appears in final, awesome, powerful judgment and defeats the enemy. The beast and his armies are defeated. He's declared to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now that brings us to chapter 20, and we see there the great white throne judgment. So again, my purpose in sharing very quickly these descriptions of God's judgment in this kind of survey is to help you see that God indeed is the judge of the nations. And this is the great judgment that will come, that is to happen. There's an aspect of God's judging now. He did judge in the past. We see that throughout the Bible. And he will finally judge in the future. And we are saved from these awesome judgments, God's ability to inflict pain and suffering upon people as a consequence of their sin, when we are washed in the blood of the Lamb, when we are saved, trusting in Christ, repenting of our sins. Praise God. And so trust in him, dear friend, and come to know the mercy of God and the righteousness, and escape these awful judgments that will come upon the nations. Father, thank you for this time. Bless the word to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so, my friends, till next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord bless you.